We who have often gathered at this place do not come here because it is a place of excursion or a city with sights. We come here to have an encounter with God. We come here to hear His word, and we make no secret of the fact that we want our proclamation to be 100% in line with what God has spoken through the mouth of all the prophets and apostles, but also was summarized in our day through the ministry of Brother Branham and placed upon the lampstand in all truthfulness. Someone may say, there are so many different directions and great men with worldwide success. That doesn't count at all with God. Men with their own programs are not at all in demand with God. God is looking for people who are here on the farm, there fishing, sitting somewhere at customs, and perhaps for whom no one has a use, who don't seem to really belong or fit in anywhere. And that actually includes all of us. We have been in different denominations, in churches and fellowships, and have to admit quite openly, we didn't really fit in anywhere until God sought us out, found us, took us into His kingdom and added us to His plan. And it's going to get even better. This is just the beginning. That is why we are not at all interested in having a name on earth, but in having our names written in heaven. And when that is the case, then we will hear the words of God that were written down here on earth from heaven by divine inspiration, but came from above. We will hear them, believe them, and do them. May God grant us this in these days. I have resolved not to preach at all, but to let God speak to us all, as a father speaks to his children with whom he means well. And I do not believe that there is an earthly father who does not mean well with his children. Our hearts only break when our children go their own way, and it is the same with God. What good are many children to Him if they go their own way, do not believe His word, and do not act accordingly? That is why Brother Branham also preached the sermons that the children must pass their test until they come of age, in order to then be placed in the position He has assigned to them. After He has found them to be faithful in all trials and can entrust them with everything He has prepared for them. God is now looking for people who don't just run off to do something, but who let themselves be integrated into what He is doing, people whom He has tested to the point of no return, to whom He can entrust a little more than has been the case up to now. We believe that God has more, and in these days we will also talk about the fact that God not only makes promises but also fulfills them, and that we are not waiting for Him but He is waiting for us. We stand in our own way and in His way and must recognize in these days where these things lie and must be prepared to let ourselves be corrected, to bow in His presence, because it is grace that He is still speaking to us. Once a father gets to the point where he no longer talks to his son, then it is very late. But God, as our Father, wants to talk to us in an emphatic, understandable way. That is why we want to ask Him from the bottom of our hearts that the Spirit of God may hover over the meetings during these days, that the Word may go forth and accomplish what God has sent it to do. Some of us will be of the same conviction. We have heard the message of God for so long, and there is such a deep longing within us, not just to hear more words, but for divine words and divine deeds to meet in the midst of the gatherings of the saints, in the midst of those who come together to let God speak. And I personally would like to wish that there is not a single brother left who still feels compelled to share his special doctrine or special knowledge or special experiences with others. We are happy to include sisters in this, but they should actually not teach. So we want to put aside everything of our own and realize before God that only what He Himself was allowed to do, what we allowed Him to do, will stand its ground before Him. Believe me, not one thing that you and I are able to do counts with God, because then we could boast of having done this and that. And the Holy Scripture says that the works have already been provided for us to walk in them. Even the greatest deeds, right up to the raising of the dead, would be something that not we, but God, through His Word that is in us, by giving the promise and His quickening power, wants to work through us. He alone can do it, and no one else. When we look at the ministry of Brother Branham, which has become the example for our day from God, the pattern that stands before our eyes, there was absolutely no and not the slightest effort involved in having or asking for anything special from God, but simply being faithful to the divine calling and the ministry that was given to him. And you all know that he was a human being, and being found in fashion as a man. I hope that all of you who are here this evening will understand this remark correctly. One thing in particular has been on my mind, and that is the appearance of the supernatural cloud on the 28th of February, 1963. And what I actually want to emphasize is not worth emphasizing, but I do it with a very special purpose to show us that God is absolutely not impressed by hypocrisy, but by our naturalness. I hope we all realize what this is trying to say. Brother Branham is told by the Lord on the 22nd of December 1962 that this great thing will take place. And do you know when it took place? Not when he said, now I'm going to fast, now I'm going to pray, now I'm going to. Do you know what he was busy with? And now hold on tight, even though you are already sitting down. He was in his jeans, in a hunting outfit, with his rifle, and had just shot a wild boar. And then the thought occurred to him, Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, they don't have one yet. Now I know where they are. Now I will make sure that I drive this pack over to them, so that they each shoot one too. And when he saw this pack, he suddenly looks down and sees a cocklebearer on his trouser leg, just as he had been shown in the vision. And it suddenly happens, almost like an earthquake, in any case, a very powerful detonation. And he already realizes that the moment has come in which what was announced to him on the 22nd of December 62 will be fulfilled. And he says right after this, I was lifted up into this cloud. And when it was all over, and he met these two brothers, you and I would have told a great story Gosh, there was the cloud. Seven angels. I counted from the right to left and so on. And the Lord commanded me and so forth. And do you know what he asks after that? Did you each shoot one? Do you realize that? I can hardly believe it. We would have gone mad. We wouldn't have realized that natural things have to take their course, and that in the midst of the greatest experiences with God, you have to remain sober and clear. People who do not remain sober and clear have not had any real experiences with God. They have become a victim of their pious fantasy and imagination and nothing more. Personally, that really touched my heart. A man of God, the greatest, as far as I can see and judge from the scriptures, that has ever existed, as far as the ministry and the things connected with it are concerned. And then, so naturally, he knew when to say what. So he wasn't a pious crank. He wasn't someone who had to be so spiritual all the time. We all have to be so spiritual all the time, don't we? Always so spiritual, so spiritual. And yet, we are anything but spiritual. We have become unnatural people in both respects, whether it concerns the earthly or the spiritual. So, back to the naturalness in the natural, back to spirituality in the spiritual. This is the only way we can move forward together. Personally, it has actually become very great to me that in the middle of an earthly endeavor, which could really be regarded as secondary, the Lord met his servant, and afterwards he was just as sober and clear as he had been before. Beloved, this is how it must be with all of us, that we are able to categorize things where they belong, and then God will bless us. You can therefore be completely relaxed these days. No one needs to be spiritual. You are already spiritual enough. I am convinced that God will help us. But we have to put off the pious pretense and the pious fuss and become sober and clear and recognize the divine realm and ascribe it to God and be grateful to the Lord for it. I thought of the Lord's first coming, and as I said, I'm glad I don't have to preach these days. Although we will be here together every day at 10 o'clock, and for my sake at 2 or 3, and again in the evening, but everything to bring us closer to God and to recognize ourselves in our absolute nothingness and that God could become everything. It is written of the first coming of Christ in Luke 2, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in the people with whom he is pleased. We know that God is concerned that there are people in whom he can be pleased. And twice it is written of our Lord, the Son of God, in you I am well pleased. Once at the baptism in Matthew chapter 3, once on the Mount of Transfiguration, probably in Matthew 17 or 19, where it may be, in any case, it is written twice. This divine well-pleasing that rested on Christ, the Son of God. He was the promised seed of the Word, who was brought to life by the Spirit. God's well-pleasing rested on him. The same well-pleasing of God rests on all the redeemed who are the Word seed made alive in them by the Spirit of God. And I will tell you why. Because we were already in him and were taken out of him, indeed begotten, and that we may be of divine kindred. Before I read something from Brother Branham's sermon, The Original Seed, I would like to read a few verses from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Have we read along? Not my righteousness and not yours, but the righteousness of God has been manifested. Namely, as it is written here in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now a question. Do you believe? Do I believe? Do we belong to those who are addressed in this scripture? Then you and I, through faith in Jesus Christ, have been placed by grace into this righteousness of God, into justification, in which absolutely nothing is missing. It is no longer the works that we do, but the work that he has done. I read on. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I really read that here from the Bible, not from some other book. Everyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ has been declared righteous by God. And it goes without saying that self-righteousness is excluded here, and that the righteousness that counts before God has come in our place and on our behalf. I wish that we could not just hear such verses once and pass over them and deal with ourselves again inwardly, but that we could penetrate to this living faith, because God has dealt with us. We no longer need to deal with ourselves. We only need to abandon ourselves to Him and trust and believe Him, so that the Word can finally come true. For so far we have prevented God from making His true Word come true for us through our unbelief. Is it true or not? We have questioned what God has said and what God has done, and have made life difficult for ourselves, have suffered and martyred ourselves without coming to the absolute joy in God and the assurance of being saved. People used to tell me, including my dad, who had gone home, that when people really experienced God, it was something that lasted maybe a few hours, but after those few hours, it was done forever. It didn't start all over again, but people were seized by the grace of God. They were led to repentance. They wrestled through until they came to the assurance of being saved. These were not just emotional experiences, but the Word spoke to people as far as it was preached at that time, and the Spirit of God did the rest. We must penetrate to this biblical faith and understand when it is written in Hebrews 6 that we want to go on to perfection and not start again and again with repentance and with faith and with water baptisms and all these principles of the doctrine of Christ, but that it comes to the point that we grasp every topic that God deals with us through His Word, that we grasp it in faith and say yes to it inwardly. And not only that, but also to experience it, so that the Word and what happens to us are in agreement. As written here, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And if we believe that redemption was, is, and will be a perfect redemption, then let us believe that this perfect redemption concerns us, the redeemed, that we are addressed by it. After all, we are not dealing about the Romans today, or the Corinthians, or the Galatians. Today, the Lord is addressing you and me. Today, this Word is addressed to us. We do not need to pay. It has already been paid. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. Is this not marvelous? Through faith in His blood, redemption is connected with the blood, whom God, through His blood, when He bled to death on the cross of Calvary, He became our reconciliation. There we were united with God. And we simply have to believe that once and for all. It is a propitiation through faith in His blood. He who does not believe will be put to shame. But he who believes cannot be put to shame. Now, let me not go any further. Before we have understood this first point inwardly, God has placed Christ in His blood on the cross of Calvary to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. And in Him we have reconciliation and the forgiveness of all iniquity and all sin. If you have a biblical faith in your heart, in what God is saying to us here this evening, you may well say, Amen. That wasn't loud enough. No. The matter is worthy. I'm not interested in you giving me encouragement. I'm not affected. This is about you and me, about all of us. And this is not about a faith that may or may not be there, but about the faith that cometh by hearing and that builds up and does the work of God in us. If we can believe this from the heart, that a complete reconciliation, redemption, pardon, acquittal, indeed, that God can no longer bring us into the dialogue at all, because we were judged. When Christ was judged in our stead, our punishment was laid on Him, that we might have peace, and by His stripes we have been healed. That is the gospel. That is biblical divine truth. And then even those who have had great trouble with themselves can rejoice and say, O God, if that is so, and now it is so, who am I that You count me among those who have been pardoned, who may have part in the redemption? In these days, we will ask God to bless us in a very powerful way through His Word and through His Spirit, and to meet us. Now, the Apostle writes directly in the next verse, and perhaps we should also read verse 26 again. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. That is a marvelous word for me. That is the gospel. It is a joyful and liberating message. Can you believe it? Can you accept it? Faith cometh by hearing. Biblical faith comes from the Word of God. We don't want anything other than what God wants. He wanted to justify. He did it. He shows us how it happened. And we could open up many more scriptures and add to them and read them. But I think that in this passage, it is so concentrated, so summarized, so convincing, so all-encompassing, so clear, that just reading the scripture aloud would be enough to give everyone clarity about what happened on Golgotha. Beloved, we must now move from the proclamation via faith to the experience. We can no longer just listen and then go on our way again. The preaching of the Word of God must lead to a dialogue with the listeners and God. everyone must be gripped in their soul and seized in their heart, and must bring these words before the Lord and ponder on them and just say by faith, Lord, my God, this is how it is. This is how I accept it. Help me to receive this through faith in Jesus Christ. No more your effort and my effort, and maybe even a lifetime. And most believers are busy all their lives trying to be saved. And when the end comes and they are lying on their sick or deathbed, it turns out that they have been trying all their lives and have never come to this true experience with God. Beloved, I don't believe that I or we who preach God's word can take it upon our conscience that people do not receive from God under the preaching what has been promised in the word. However, we can only achieve one thing by preaching the word, that God is given the opportunity to work in all of us during that time. And for this to happen, it is necessary that you not only forget your worries and I forget mine, but that we completely put them aside. Everything that moves us during that time distracts us and prevents us from receiving what God has promised us in a certain word given to us. And of course, the enemy will not just have one thing, he will find 100 things or even more to possibly push them in our way. Let us recognize under the preaching of the word that we are gathered before the face of God as reconciled, as pardoned, as justified in the blood of the Lamb. And I can tell you one thing. The devil may have tinkered with the words of God, and he already began to do so in the Garden of Eden, and has continued to do so through all the false prophets and scribes right up to our time. But none of you or anyone else will find a single place where he has approached the blood. God has set him a limit, and all those who are under the blood of atonement are untouchable for Satan, protected by God, untouchable for the enemy. You may say, well, then why are we still being so attacked and such like? Because we have not realized that we are in Christ, and that a complete reconciliation and forgiveness has taken place. Just as the Lord has paid the price there, and we have been redeemed and purchased, so the enemy has lost his claim on you and me forever. One thing may be possible, that He will use our head to get some things going mentally, if not mess them up. But then we realize that God has not chosen the head, but the heart. And then we believe from the heart and confess what we believe from the heart with our mouth, and thus we are justified by God. For he who believes from the heart, you all know the scripture in Romans chapter 10. It is clearly written there. Just a few more quotes from this sermon of Brother Branham. The spoken word is the original seed. I'm reading. Now that's what I wish to lay the text on. The spoken word is the original seed. Notice, God said, let every seed bring forth after its own kind. Whatever it was, it must be brought forth of its kind. This word of God is eternal. God, being infinite, cannot speak one thing and then later on change it to something else, to a better decision, because every decision of God is perfect. He cannot. Once His word is once spoken, it can never die. It lives on and can never die because it is God. His word can no more die than He can die. That's the reason we read in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The same word that was spoken in the beginning with His eternal purpose came on over and was made flesh and dwelt among us. I could go on reading here. The same word that was spoken through all the prophets concerning Christ and was fulfilled in Him from His birth to His ascension and return, the same word that was spoken through all the prophets, through our Lord and through all the apostles for the church must find its fulfillment. Because we, as the bride church, are part of the bridegroom. We belong together. It is the same Spirit and the same Word. Well, if everything was fulfilled in Him, and it was an eternal, unbreakable, unchangeable Word, then it is the same with us as the Church of the Lord. So why can't we make what we've just read in Romans 3 an eternal part of our eternal salvation? Salvation truly does not begin with a funeral eulogy, but rather, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The point is that we are on the ball with our hearts and allow God to show us the immutability of His purpose and will in these last days. God's Word is the original seed, and we are allowed to take this original seed into ourselves, and that will be our theme in these days. And this divine original seed that is placed within us must come forth again after its kind. Nothing other can come forth than what was sown. And I am always someone who says the last thing at the beginning. Eve could not wait, and it was a deception, a mixture, a foreign seed, and it was no use saying that with God's help I had called the Son into existence. Mary was able to wait, and it was she who said, I know of no man. Let me say this tonight and a few more times. The final state of the Church of Jesus Christ will have a pure virgin womb, and there will be no more mixture, but into a purified heart, the pure divine seed will be sown, and the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and the power of the Most High will overshadow us, and that which will be born in us will be sons and daughters of God from His divine seed. Can we believe that? This is the thing that God will do as surely as He has promised in His Word. And we know that this was basically the real ministry of Brother Branham. Not just to give us a few things to disagree about and discuss. The devil laughs at such foolishness. God's people will recognize that God has spoken and that He has sent His servant and prophet under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to call out the church and then put the living, revealed Word into her. Here it says, the Word cannot die. How marvelous! Because it is God's Word. And our Lord says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. May the faithful God take us into His care in these days and make us realize how late it is on the world clock, and also make us aware of what a grace and what a privilege it is to dwell under the shadow of the Most High and to hear His revealed Word, which has been proclaimed fresh from His throne. Today, let us believe the first step, namely, that we have been justified by Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that there can no longer be any discussion about this, but that the matter has been settled by God almost 2,000 years ago, and that in Christ, who died in his blood, we have an effective, he says, an effective means of atonement, not just something that we look at, but from which an effect emanates, an effective means of atonement. The blood of the Lamb has accomplished a whole effect in those who have come to believe in God through Him. And if we take this as the first step in faith tonight, really each one for himself, that not one remains silent and keeps his mouth shut, but that everyone, really every single one, speaks to God today and says, Faithful Lord, if I have not yet experienced this, if I have disbelieved or been afflicted with doubts and thus dishonored you and stood before you in unbelief, then forgive me and have mercy on me, beloved. I must also submit to this. Everyone must submit under the mighty hand of God. Everyone must submit under every word. There is not one who could somehow stand above it. All have been put under unbelief, so that God may have mercy on all, and no flesh may boast before Him. I'll read, and then read again, and then we will pray. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. If anyone feels excluded, raise your hand. I hope not, my God, I hope not. I hope that everyone really realizes that it is the Lord who speaks to us through His Word. We cannot take the last steps until we have taken the first steps properly and have been placed in this divine race. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. If we receive this from the heart and believe, thanking the Lord and say, Faithful God, we are here, I am here, and together we come before your face. Today, I want to meet you on Golgotha. That is where the Lord is. I mean, God met us there, and that is where we meet God. There is no other place to meet God than in Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Him we have redemption and forgiveness, grace and justification. He was set forth for us as a means of atonement, effective through faith. I wish that God could work in our midst these days in a very ancient way, as he did in the beginning through his Spirit, that our hearts would go along, that they would be addressed. Oh, that we could say, my God, who are we? Millions around us are going their own ways, are in their own programs and the like. Who are we that you should speak to us, that you have drawn us to yourself, and in your love you revealed unto us all these things? May the Lord give us grace today in our first gathering and move each and every heart so that we can be truly grateful and say, faithful Lord, we are yours for time and eternity. Do with us what pleases you. May what happened on Golgotha touch and reach your heart and mine. God did not make things easy for himself. We want to emphasize that here. God chose the most difficult path that could ever be walked in order to redeem humanity. What motivated him to take this difficult path in order to redeem us? Love. Thank you. And the same love of God that came down from heaven to this earth and was revealed in our Redeemer is the same love that will be revealed in all the redeemed, and that will also take us up into the glory of God through the power of the Spirit. May the Lord bless us all.